This is our devotional commentary for Luke chapter 11. I'm Pastor Doug Corlew. Welcome to the Abide Podcast, where we daily begin with a reading of God's Word. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet, because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest, and finding none, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings 7 other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first." As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." When the crowds were increasing, he began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore be careful, lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him, so he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, in saying these things you insult us also." And he said, "Woe to you, lawyers, also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses, and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets, shed from the foundation of the world, may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary. Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering.'" As he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. As you read the Lord's Prayer in Luke 11, you may notice a few differences from the way Matthew records it. No doubt Jesus taught this prayer more than once, and he probably varied it a bit each time. Actually, this shows that Jesus isn't giving us a precise formula of words to memorize and repeat, although that may indeed be helpful, but rather he's giving us a pattern, a model we can use to form our own prayers. It's important that we listen to God's word, like Mary, who sat at the feet of Jesus at the end of chapter 10. But to develop our relationship with God, we should also use our words to communicate with him. Simply put, prayer is talking with our Father in heaven. We pray for God's glory, that his reputation would be enhanced and that his reign would be established, verse 2. We pray for our needs, requesting God's provision, pardon, and protection, verses 3 and 4. And we pray with bold perseverance, confident that our Father will answer, verses 5 through 13. It's a great privilege to express ourselves verbally to God. But when Satan had silenced a man's tongue, he was unable to speak to anyone. It was the latest in a long series of conflicts between Jesus and the devil, which began with the wilderness temptation. Again, Jesus triumphs as the mute man is delivered from the demonic power and begins to speak, no doubt proclaiming joyful praise to the Lord. People were amazed by the miracle, but not all of them acknowledged it to be God's work. Some were skeptical. Others were antagonistic, claiming that this was really the work of Satan. Jesus points out that it was not logical to think Satan would try to undo his own work, and not consistent for his critics to say he was working for the devil while not saying the same thing about their own exorcists. They were seeking a sign, but they had just seen one that should have convinced them. God's kingdom was coming in Christ, and Satan's resistance was futile. He is a strong man, but Jesus is much stronger. And by his crucifixion, he will overthrow the devil. For us, the application is clear. There is no middle ground. We have to take sides. Either we are for Christ and his kingdom, or we are against him. Verses 14 through 23. If we do not make a decisive commitment to follow Jesus Christ, we are in a place of great spiritual danger. We are safe from Satan only when we have the Spirit of Christ living within us. Those who try to conquer the evil within by their own efforts may end up worse off than ever. Moral reformation without spiritual regeneration can lead to demonic domination. What we need is the Holy Spirit, whom Jesus has promised that the Father will give to anyone who asks. Verse 13. When God's Spirit lives within us, there can be no vacancy and no joint tenancy. It is either Jesus or the devil. Your choice. Verses 24 through 26. Thanks for listening to the Abide Podcast. For more information about Summit Church of Alta, go to summitefc.com. And I'll meet you again next time as we abide, living daily in the Word.